Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Hi, this is Eric Roberts, and you're listening to TV Confidential. Peace out.
Tony Figueroa and Donna Allen are with us as they bring us this week in TV history. June 17th, 1994, O.J. Simpson was arrested after flight from justice. I like how history... I think if we were going to write the little byline for this, we would use very different language.
Yes. This is one of those stories, at least for me, when I first heard it, the initial reaction is because... And again, we're reacting to an image, we're reacting to a personality. You wanted to not believe it was true. At least my reaction was I didn't want to believe it was true.
Ed, where were you?
I was in San Francisco.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tony and I were in Los Angeles. This is happening in our backyard.
Yeah.
And we are seeing things that are very familiar. Mm-hmm. And I think my response was, oh my God. This is really happening. This is a national news story. And the man in the Bronco was a hero.
Well,
to a lot of people.
Now,
yeah.
As the story continued to develop and we began to hear the 911 calls from 1989 and the mountain of evidence began to compile and was released to the public via Inside Edition or CNN or whatever. Yeah, then you began to realize, okay, well, wow, this is, wow.
And also, for perspective, 1994, the internet really wasn't...
It was not mainstream. The internet existed, but it was not
mainstream.
It
would still be at least a year and a half. By the time the verdict came out, the internet was...
Right.
A little bit, it was dial-up and very slow.
Yes.
And no...
AOL.
Yeah, there was no... Yeah, most of it was AOL. Really no video stills, you know, that's what you would see. The concept of DSL was still not there. But the internet certainly took an advanced leap during the time of the trial. The murder happened on June 12th, the double murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. And so people were hearing this story that this happened. And then little by little, things were starting to come out in the news as this murder story. And then I remember this was a Friday.
Yeah.
Right? This was a Friday. I know we had evening plans.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little family thing going on in the afternoon. And then all of a sudden, we're like trying to get some loose ends tied up. The TV wasn't on. My mother comes to pick us up. We're going out to do some things. And my mother is going, did you hear? OJ's a fugitive.
Yeah. Now, I do remember.
And, you know, that's not something you expected to hear.
No. And I do remember, like a lot of other people, I switched on and I watched it unfold.
You couldn't help yourself.
On Larry King.
Yeah.
You could not help. We heard the story. We were listening to it on the radio while we were running some errands. You know, you're going out. I think we were at the IKEA in Burbank. And then all of a sudden, everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a TV at the bar next door, people are stopping into the bars. What's going on? And they have to, you know, you can see people taking a break from their job, going to the nearest TV set to see what's the latest thing going on. It was insane that this thing was happening. And then we were at a party that night. It was an outdoor barbecue. Where were we? We were in the living room of our friend. He wanted to show off his brand new giant screen TV, which at that time was the size of
my couch.
Your couch, if it was a bunk couch,
yeah.
You know, one couch on top of the other. That's how big the thing was. And we are, one person is cooking outside and taking shifts at the grill. The food is coming inside, and we are watching the 405 in what was referred to as a low-speed chase.
Yeah.
And, you know, A.C. Cowling's driving. O.J.'s supposed to be in the back. He's on the phone. O.J.'s got a gun to his head. And it's like, oh, wow. This is, and we are all glued. But I guess for us, this is also happening not far from where we are.
Yeah.
This is impacting day-to-day.
Yeah.
This is impacting, you know, normal business life.
No, I'm sure if you were anywhere but Los Angeles, it's so far away, it's not real. For us, it was very real.
I can certainly imagine that. It's interesting, 95, within a year of that, okay, now, 94, 95 was around the time I started coming down here on a regular basis because I was researching my books on Rockford and Maverick. And I was beginning to learn my way around certain parts of Los Angeles. And because I saw a lot of Roy Huggins at the time, Roy lived in Bel Air, and driving around, I would drive past Gretna Green. I realized, wow, you know, that kind of brought me to a little closer to home for me. At least they're not just names on a screen.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden,
exactly,
it's wow, man. It's like, you know, that this is how close it was.
Yeah, and even as we're recording this, there were stories in the news about members of the not the Brown family, but the Goldman family,
yeah,
you know, still coming out. That certainly was a game changer in a lot of things, not just broadcasting news, celebrity. You know, this was not the first celebrity murder trial. But people were calling it the trial of the century, which I thought was a horrible thing to call it, considering that the Nuremberg trial probably should have been, you know.
Yeah, I would say it's the trial of
Leopold and Loeb.
It was
not Leopold and Loeb, but the Rosenbergs, things like that.
It was the trial of the television century.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
That's a good way of putting it.
Of that particular era in television broadcast news. It was big, but I think the first half of the century really.
I agree with you.
I think that was a huge disrespect, not to the criminals who were on trial previously, but to the historic
families,
events. Yeah, there were, like I said, Nuremberg probably should be the trial of the century and the next.
Yeah.
But there were several other important trials that were happening.
But it goes back to another
Scopes monkey trial.
In terms of, I hate to use the word production or spectacle, but it was.
It is a good word.
But it was.
Yeah.
But it was.
It was.
And it was very hard to get away from.
Yeah, and so when you think in terms of, you know, having to do a lot, whether you're doing a cutaway from the to the courthouse or to the various correspondents who are covering, you know, the various aspects of the story. From a production point of view, from the guy in the control room, yeah, it's easy to say, you know, trial of the century because you're being caught up in televising this event.
Also, keep in mind, we weren't digital yet, but television production values, and I think a lot developed during the Gulf War, just a couple years before. Production values to set things up, you know, like Operation Desert Storm, all of a sudden you had graphics and theme music.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, when we were talking JFK assassination, TV cameras had to warm up.
Yeah.
That's why we have audio of certain breaking news
video.
That's why we have Don Pardo
there.
You know, cameras had to warm up. You know, Cronkite was at lunch, but he happened to be having lunch, you know, at the studio.
Right.
Now we have something where we have war on the heels of a war that has movie production values.
Now you
covering
can,
it.
Now you can cover. You can go live. You know, remote if you happen. You know, if from your smartphone.
Yes,
mm-hmm. you can link. You can sync it up to the network feed.
That's
and then
and we have.
Yeah,
I mean, any one of us, if we spotted something, we could capture it, either a photograph or video, and email it to...
Anderson Cooper does that all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, we jump ahead a few years, 9/11. Ashley Banfield was stuck near Ground Zero, and they went to a store. Her husband bought a DV video camera. So it's still tape, but it's, you know, a digital tape, and shot her... covering things right there, and then the challenge was to get that tape to NBC at 30 Rockefeller Plaza. But they could, you know, they covered her, and it pretty good quality considering what was happening.
Yeah.
You're not going to be picky on the production values. But, yeah, OJ, I think, you know, definitely how we cover things. It was a game changer. As Donna was saying, we were there. We had a vested interest in what happened that day and for, what, the next 2 years?
2 years. Hard to believe. We're taking a look at the 20-year anniversary of the White Bronco police chase and how the coverage of the O.J. Simpson murder case continues to impact television today. We'll take a quick time out, then we'll continue our conversation with Tony and Donna here on TV Confidential.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay Area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.